Let's go, baby! You are going to love tonight's guest. He is a stadium expert who last year went to 100 stadiums. He's going to 100 stadiums this year, and he visited Tiger Stadium last weekend for the first time. So he's an objective stadium expert. Has the Tiger Stadium experience stayed up to date with all the other SEC schools? Give me your honest thoughts tonight, because I want to have an open conversation with how you experience what everyone considers the best experience in all of college football. Also tonight, Garrett Nussmeier going to the NFL draft. I do have one small indicator that will shock you. That's coming up. Let's go.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Come Everything on. Gonna get the power, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Come
So, this is Nate Tice. He is one of my favorite NFL draft personalities. He is the son of a former NFL coach, Mike Tice, of the Minnesota Vikings, known for the legendary pencil in the ear. And here's Nate Tice talking about Garrett Nussmeier. He's saying, hop on the Nuss bus. You don't really even need to discuss it all that much. He says, I'm a big fan of how Garrett Nussmeier has been playing so far this year. Accurate, willing, and able to attack all three levels and plays with a great feel for the position. And notice that last sentence. Who is the one LSU content creator that you know that has been telling you about Garrett Nussmeier's pressure to sack ratio? If you guessed me, you'd be correct, okay? Because obviously we did a long Twitter thread recently about Garrett Nussmeier's pressure to sack ratio. So for our YouTube viewers, you're currently witnessing Garrett Nussmeier slice up defenses from an all-22 view. And as you can see, in particular, throwing over the middle of the field is something that Nate Tice holds near and dear to his heart. Now, how do I know this? Well, one of his biggest criticisms of Jaden Daniels in the draft process was Jaden's lack or theoretical lack of ability of throwing over the middle of the field, which obviously I pushed back on because Jaden throwing over the middle was actually really good in his final season at LSU. But obviously Garrett Nussmeier has always been good at this. And of course, Garrett Nussmeier is a very flawed, turnover prone quarterback, but I have always said this about him. When you take a look at just the high-level NFL throws, he can make them all. Now, is his arm special? Special? No, it's not in the Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Will Levis, Jay Rust tier, right? But it doesn't need to be. It's a very strong arm. All right. I would put him in that next tier, probably a Caleb Williams, Spencer Rattler level arm. So what does that mean exactly? Does Nate Tice's tweet mean anything at all? Well, Nate's really plugged in and people love his opinions, right? NFL draft guys are always looking for the next elite quarterback to lead them. Particularly one like Garrett Nussmeier, who could be available in the back half of the first round. So it's going to be interesting. Garrett Nussmeier obviously has a decision to make this offseason, but I will tell you of two different people that I trust with NFL sources that have told me that Garrett Nussmeier is definitely on the NFL's radar. Does it help that he has about the best connection you can have in the NFL? Your dad, of course, being a quarterback coach in the NFL? Sure, because you take a look at Doug Nussmeier, he is probably the most well-connected coach in all of football. because he has coached everywhere. He's coached in the Big Ten. He's obviously coached under Saban in the SEC. And as you know, Saban knows everybody. And he has made three stops in the last 3 years in the NFL. So this is a quarterback, Garrett Nussmeier, who teams are going to like, right? Because he has been around the NFL. He has been around big-time coaches, of course, being the offspring of his father. So I am kind of in the middle on this, right, with Garrett Nussmeier's big decision this offseason. It's also the bye week. But I do want it to be known that I actually did reach out, and he is moving up NFL draft boards. And it is relevant to this conversation because it does change the quarterback picture for LSU next season. I do believe LSU is going to want him back. They are going to desperately want him back. Even though the quarterback room is going to be pretty good next year still, Bryce Underwood joining, Colin Hurley entering year two, and of course, Ricky Collins and AJ Swan still being there, and Swan, of course, having SEC experience. So it does keep the LSU quarterback room as a very talented one. I think a lot of you would be comfortable rolling the dice with a true freshman quarterback if it actually got to that point. But you're telling me that Garrett Nussmeier, who we have all agreed, I Twitter polled this, not only with LSU fans, but I also reached out to SEC fans. Is Garrett Nussmeier the second best quarterback in terms of performance this year in the SEC? Yes. He is the second best quarterback. Jalen Milroe is first. There's no questions about that. Okay. Connor Wigman got hurt. Jackson Arnold's fallen off a cliff. Quinn Ewers has gotten hurt. There's only a few other quarterbacks you can even consider. Nico definitely is knocking right there. Carson Beck hasn't really been that great in these last couple of games. Garrett Nussmeier has been very productive in each and every one of his games. Now, we can have a conversation on if Garrett Nussmeier has been as challenged as, of course, Carson Beck. Carson Beck played two of the top five defenses in the SEC in its last two performances, and they were both true road games. So we'll see how this actually rolls out. But for me, as far as the NFL draft is concerned, where would he rank in terms of the quarterbacks? Guys that at this point I would comfortably put ahead of Garrett Nussmeier, I don't think a team is going to take Garrett Nussmeier over Shedeur Sanders. I don't think a team is going to take Garrett Nussmeier over Jalen Milroe. Outside of those two, it's possible. Cam Ward, I think, is ahead of him. Quinn Ewers, I think, is ahead of him. Carson Beck, I think, is ahead of him in terms of the pecking order of NFL draft QBs. So at this point, I think at best he would be QB3. And at the absolute worst, if he was to enter, he would be QB number 10. So the likelihood that he comes back actually to me is really high. One final note on this. It would be interesting to see how the rest of the rookie quarterbacks played the rest of this season. If we get slightly better performances from Bo Nix and Jaden playing the way that he's playing right now, maybe teams are going to be more inclined to take a quarterback in after a year five with the absolute most experience you can have. Because as someone who has increased my amount of NFL watching because my NFL channel is growing, I appreciate all the love there on Power Hour NFL, I can tell you, just watching as much Jaden as I've watched every rep, pretty much every all 22 rep as well, it is clear that everything is moving slower for him than all the other quarterbacks in the draft class. And it is without reasonable doubt that a lot of it is due to all the football he's played. And you got to think about it this way as well. Jaden Daniels has played more football than some rookie and second-year quarterbacks. Okay? Jaden has started more games than C.J. Stroud as a quarterback, which is crazy to think about. It honestly is absolutely crazy to think about. Jaden has started more games than Bryce Young. Jaden has started more games than Anthony Richardson. All right, now Stroud obviously is transcendent. He probably is the best young quarterback of the past couple of seasons outside of Jaden Daniels. But it makes me think more and more that Garrett's going to come back next year. So it is an interesting discussion. It's more of an offseason discussion, but I wanted to share that he is definitely moving up some NFL draft boards. And I understand that whenever you discuss quarterbacks and whenever you discuss the turnovers, whenever you discuss all these different things, people dig their heels in and want to paint you as one type of way. It's either you're anti-Nuss, you're pro-Nuss, you're anti-Jaden, you're pro-Jaden, whatever the case may be. I, as you could tell, am very pro-Nussmeier. I think some of the turnover issues are a little overstated. Like I said last night on Blake's show, and I'll say it again now. If we are going to say that Garrett Nussmeier was lucky to beat South Carolina, you must also say the inverse of that is also true. Garrett Nussmeier was not the only player who did not have his best day in the office. Now, we should hold quarterbacks to a higher standard, but I've always said this about Kyren Lacy's drops, okay? When Kyren drops a pass, he's going to make up for it by making an explosive play. The same thing is true with Garrett Nussmeier. I don't mind if you throw picks. I just don't. If I am getting elite quarterback play in all the other snaps, which up to this point he has given us, all right? So why would I lead an NFL draft discussion with one man's opinion and a few NFL sources that I've shared up to this point? Well, these guys have no allegiances. All right. Unless Nate Tice has some connection to Doug Nussmeier and he's doing him a favor, it wouldn't shock me because Doug knows everybody. But I don't think Doug would do something like that. I just don't. It seemed authentic and it backs up my opinion of Garrett Nussmeier. Also speaking to two people I trust with NFL draft knowledge, he's on the radar of a lot of teams. Okay? Now, we tied to Big Dex, who made the PHL Open. Good to see you. We'll start with a question here from LA Mom. Once again, I appreciate each and every one of you. If you want your question to be answered immediately, okay? Super chat helps me pay the bills. It's my full-time job. It's always great to get those chats. But I do have a correction here that I will issue a little bit later. And you'll see what I'm talking about a little bit later. It was nothing about the Nuss thing. Now, is Jackson Dart ahead of Garrett Nussmeier? Man, honestly, LA Mom, the LSU Ole Miss game might decide it. I would take Garrett Nussmeier as an NFL quarterback over Jackson Dart. I really, really, really would. Like, and I'm not just saying that. And Julie, thank you so much for the super chat. So I'll dive a little bit deeper. I had a great hour-long phone conversation with Jared late last night. It got kind of crazy. But look. I have a really, really tough time taking Jackson Dart over Garrett Nussmeier when I know in the SEC over the past couple of seasons, Lane Kiffin as your head coach is a cheat code. All right. Now, the one thing I will say about Jackson Dart is the Kentucky game really did concern me for this reason. Great quarterbacks lift the plays of others. When you only have one elite target, which Ole Miss does this season in Trey Tucker, now that doesn't really say a whole lot because our secondary is not really that good. So the other receivers will have, you know, a better matchup than they did versus Kentucky. But when your offense is so Trey Harris. Trey Tucker, of course, went to Louisiana Tech and has been a good receiver for the Raiders. Look, do I think from my perspective that Jackson Dart is overrated as an NFL prospect? I do. I really, really, really do. Do I think it could work out? Yes, it could. And Jackson Dart is another example of a lot of years of starters experience. So that does excite me. But, man, he has looked like a different person with Quinshon Judkins not being there. Okay, their running back room is thin, and they really needed him to find a way to win. And it wasn't only on him, but he couldn't quite do it. And his end of game situational play versus Kentucky on a game-winning drive or a game-tying drive was horrendous. Horrendous. Okay. So I would say Garrett Nussmeier is a pro prospect over Jackson Dart. Would I say Garrett Nussmeier is better than Jackson Dart? Through this point in the season, yes. But this past weekend was Jackson Dart's only tough game. So let's see what he does in these upcoming games. And the South Carolina game will tell us a lot of Jackson Dart. Okay. Because the film last weekend was not good. It really was not good. And I watched that whole game. Okay. The Master Blaster. What's good, buddy? Now, Jerry, you get to pick the next topic. Go right on ahead. Appreciate you. Appreciate Bowtie Tim. He is sending me a Jaden Daniels rookie card. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. He is so expensive right now. That's the only thing that sucks from my vantage point. I, as an LSU collector, can't collect the LSU stars or the NFL because they get so expensive. And now all these NFL draft guys are like, let's just take the LSU guys. And I think some of that is in play here with Garrett Nussmeier as well. Yeah, like all their offensive players have been good. Like seriously, like all of them have been good. And we also don't talk enough about Damian Lewis getting the bag, Lloyd Cushenberry being the highest paid center of all freaking time. It's weird. Okay. Eli Holstein has been really good for Pittsburgh. I will say, Eli Holstein athletically is so damn gifted. Like, when I watched him, I was like, I don't think he's a good quarterback, like, right now. And I still never thought that watching him in high school. But damn, he's gifted. Like, it's kind of like a very watered down, like, Josh Allen. I was like, man, Eli Holstein physically can run your ass over and also throw the ball. But I'm happy he's getting his run in Pitt. But Pierce was right. He banged the table for Eli Holstein. Yeah, Mike, I just, it's impossible to really know. It really is. Okay. But look, what is it? 60% of the starters in college football are transfers. Like, it makes no sense to not be in the transfer market for quarterbacks almost every year, even if you're getting a backup. Even if you're getting a backup. But yeah. One other NFL draft QB that I think will go ahead of Garrett Nussmeier is Cam Ward, right? I don't think I mentioned him a minute ago. He's so good. He's just really damn good, man. So there you go. Let's go to Austin in Vegas. I actually got a weird text from Vegas today about a pretty interesting opportunity for me coming up. But Austin, it was good to see you. Did we take a photo, Austin? I think we did. Nuss is playing great, but do you think he could still develop that killer instinct that JD5 has to elevate him to amazing? Yeah, Austin, I'm actually going to widen this out, okay? Our team needs a better killer instinct. And I'm not deflecting off of Nuss, but I will give Nuss a killer instinct because he's led multiple game-winning drives. Now, in the South Carolina game, did he get unfreaking believably lucky with his game-winning fourth-quarter drives? Yes. But the team needs a killer instinct, right? There was no reason for South Alabama to dominate the third quarter. Okay. And, you know, I will also say this. Brian Kelly, of course, spoke with the media today. And I don't want to talk about Caden Durbin's foot. All right. I will also say this, and I'm not trying to be vague or whatever, because I'm not the injury report guy. I'm not the insider guy. You know, I would just put it out there. LSU's injury luck has just sucked this year. And when your team is thin, the injury luck of your team is so damn important. It's so important when your team doesn't have the depth you think it does. So it's been tough. It's been really tough, right? You do begin to worry about Caden Durham. Now, Brian Kelly didn't go too deep about Caden Durham's foot situation. I do think he'll be fine. I do. But you do worry about it. Okay. What did we have in the first and second quarter that we didn't have in the third? Well, the best player on our offense, which outside of Will Campbell, I would say it's Caden Durham. Okay. But I do think Caden Durham is fine. I do think Caden Durham is fine. Something else I'll say is always be weary of anything injury related. Like one thing that I see quite a bit is somebody will see a player walking around in a boot, and sometimes a boot is a precautionary measure. Come. Is it luck or too much bot time? I don't know. I don't know, Cole. I really, really, really don't. Okay. Now, here's what I want everyone to do. I want every single person to give me your honest opinions of Tiger Stadium in the chat. You guys know, even though I have a Joe Burrow painting, I have all these cards. We're going to give out a Ja'Marr Chase Prism card here in just a second. I got all this stuff behind me. I try to be as objective about LSU. Okay? You'll see me be critical of LSU. So when I bring in a guest, I'm looking for objectivity. I'm looking for a consensus opinion. And in a minute, we're going to talk to someone whose part-time job is visiting all these stadiums. All right? So in the chat right now, we're going to address Tiger Stadium. Now, I'm in a little bit of a rougher position because I've not been to a game this year, and there's been a lot of upgrades from the Tiger Stadium 100th anniversary. So I had some experiences in Tiger Stadium last year that were good, some rough. So let's talk to someone who goes to stadiums, and he's going to give you the opinion you need to know on the light shows and everything else you need, okay? But first, we're going to hear from some of our PHL partners. Let's go.
Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas, who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. Follow him on Twitter at CFB Campus Tour. He pulled off a doubleheader that every Louisiana football fan dreams of. New Orleans for the Tulane Green Wave in the morning and Tiger Stadium at night. His name is Michael Barker, and he is on a journey to visit 100 stadiums. So, Michael, where did you have more fun, Yulman or Death Valley?
I mean, that's an easy question. I mean, I love Death Valley. I know that, you know, you prefaced this interview about getting honest feedback on it, but it's been in my top bucket list for a long time, and both games were blowouts, but being able to explore a 100-year-old classic stadium for 3.5 hours, you can't beat that. So LSU for sure.
There you go. So you are going to Texas A&M this weekend. I think I saw that, correct?
Yep, just announced we're going to do a 2-for-1 there and do FCS school Stephen F. Austin in the after or evening, and Kyle Field, Texas A&M, Missouri at 11 a.m.
So do you keep a journal of like things that you're like, hey, this should be here, that should be here? Do you keep notes, and or what's your process of evaluating stadiums?
Honestly, it's just opinion. I feel like that I've been to a game at all of them. I've been to a game at 219 of 262 Division I schools. That includes the FCS. A lot of these schools I've been to multiple times. So it just comes down to, you know, what's the question? It's like Baskin Robbins. What flavor do you like? Do you like the 100,000 seat stadiums? Do you like the 50,000? Do you like the mountain views, the ocean views? So it's really, you know, what do you like? And I can try to provide you some information based on my experiences.
Which do you prefer? Do you prefer an FCS stadium of like 3,000 people, or is it? Does it sometimes refresh you that there's just not as many people, and it makes it a little bit more intimate? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Yeah, it's vibe. So, I mean, I live in California. We don't have any college football culture over here. So getting to experience it is actually part of the reason I started traveling to find out is, you know, SEC bias, a real thing, is Big Ten football. And it really is. And so getting an opportunity to go to LSU and Kyle Field back-to-back weeks, I mean, that's incredible. But there is something to be said about some of these other environments. Like I went to App State about a week and a half ago on a Thursday night. The town has 18,000 people. The stadium holds 30,000, but they get up to 10,000 standing room only. So to go to a 30,000 seat stadium, 3,000 feet up in the mountains, and have 10,000 people standing only. I mean, that's incredible. University of Montana, they have 26,000. It's underneath a mountain in Missoula. That's incredible. Jackson State, they lead the FCS. They have, you know, the Vet holds 60,000 fans there. So you could really get it anywhere, but, you know, whether you're going to the Whiteout at Penn State, night game at Tiger Stadium, there really is no replacement for that feeling that you get being part of 100,000 people willing their team to victory. I mean, there's no replacement for that.
So you corrected me earlier, and you said that you actually went to LSU, Georgia in 2018. Guess what? I'm glad I was wrong as hell, because now I get a six-year window of your opinion. All right, so of course, Georgia was a day game. There was a lot of Georgia fans there because of, as you know, the one in every 12 years thing. But from your experience then to your experience last week with all the 100th anniversary upgrades, did it improve in your mind?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, I put out a tweet, and it was basically almost a laundry list of all the things that are unique at Tiger Stadium. You know, we're talking about the natural grass field. We're talking about the markers every 5 yards, the H-style goalpost, the Tiger Eye at midfield, the purple and yellow end zones, and, you know, the welcome to Death Valley sign. Like, those are all nice touches. And then you're talking about the upgrades. You know, Penn State, for example, is going with a $900,000 remodel to improve the concourses, because when they have a whiteout there, you can't even move in the stadium.
Right.
So LSU Tiger Stadium is only about 7,000 less in capacity, and there is no similar issues there. And a lot of times, I'll tell you, I was at Nebraska about a week and a half ago, and the top of the student section is where I wanted my photo. That was row 98, and they just stood in the walkway, and I luckily had a media credential, and I could get through there. But that took me 15 minutes just to walk up there. And so some of these older stadiums that have expanded, they haven't done the infrastructure around them to support that many people. And I felt like Tiger Stadium has both. It has the capacity to hold it, and then just the modern upgrades is exactly what you want for a stadium that's 100 years old, started out with 12,000 seats back in 1924, and it's evolved with the times to become not just a great environment, but truly a great stadium.
So let's get to the obstructed views. Okay, I freaking love this.
Thank you.
Because you have to understand that obstructed views suck. So first off, tell people what an obstructed view is. And second, tell us how often do you see obstructed view tickets actually be sold?
Yeah, so obstructed views are basically a seat that is for sale where you sit down and it was not advertised that you would have less than 100% field view. And it's common. It's more common than you think. It's especially more common with older stadiums that have gone 8, 9, 10 renovations over 70, 80 years, because they did not have the foresight to think, you know, Tiger Stadium started out with 12,000. Neyland started out with 3,200. No way they thought that it would be 100,000 seats someday. So I call them casualty seats, especially at Neyland, for example. They build a press box and it intrudes on the rows about 15 rows up. Well, they have the bleachers that go right next to the press box, and so it blocks it. And so I've called them obstructed view alerts. They're supposed to be funny. They're supposed to be informative. And it's a way to, you know, let people know, advocate for the regular fan. But also over time, people are seeing that these are happen in other stadiums. So instead of schools have been butthurt over it in the past, and now I think because they see them so often, they're less, it stings a little bit less.
Did LSU know you were coming this weekend?
They didn't know, because so I don't consider myself big enough to get an SEC media credential. So I just went and bought a $34 ticket, and, you know, I got credentialed at Tulane. That was Friday. I got credentialed at Temple or Tulane in the morning on Saturday. Temple on Thursday, I got credentialed. Rutgers said no. So it's always 50-50. So I don't give them a heads up. If I think that they'll credential me, I'll do it. But SEC, like, I'm going to Texas A&M this weekend, I didn't try them either.
Yeah, I prefer you don't. I do, because I don't know. Like, I feel like it's just better that way. Because one thing that drives me crazy is like, so if you, as you know, the UCLA game was played in this ridiculous heat. And I hate when I see members of the media in air-conditioned press box, free food, HDTVs all around say, how dare you not get fried like a freaking egg in front of millions of people watching on television. And I see people on TV complaining 100%. About it. So I like the fact that you're out there with us plebeians, if you will.
And I will tell you that there's really no part of me that is actually media, you know, and the part of the reason they reject you is because you're social media. And so I call the press box jail. You can't cheer. you can't be yourself. And so I just, when I apply for a credential, I say, look, I don't need a press box seat. I don't need a pregame meal. I don't need to get on the sideline. I just want to be able to roam the bleachers. And if I need a photo in a certain spot, I have something around my neck that shows, hey, I'm blocking you because I need this, not because I'm a jerk. That's the only reason. Right. But I agree with you 100%. I'm a regular fan, regular guy. And I just, the media credentials are to help me navigate the stadium, which will in turn make me produce better photos and hopefully inspire people to go visit these stadiums on their own.
Is Tiger Stadium for sure a top three, top five experience for you?
Yes. And it's the, so, you know, I call the NFL the CCFL, which stands for the Controlled Climate Football League. And I grew up watching NFL football, loved all those stadiums, and pretty much they're all gone. And so the reason is 25 years, they don't like it, they get a new one. In college, there's a certain parcel of land dedicated to the space for a stadium, and you need to make do. So their only stadium in the SEC built after 1940 is Kentucky. Every other one is built before 1940. There is, I mean, it would be complete blasphemy to say we need to build a new stadium in the SEC. It would never happen. So I just love the old turning to new. And I will tell you two things. So my dad played college football in, he played at Tiger Stadium in 1970 against Burt Jones in a money game. They lost 35-0. So I had that. Yeah. And then my dad in high school, he was a senior and he won, like, you know, player of the year, and they had a father-son banquet, and his dad died when he was five. And the 49ers quarterback at the time was Y.A. Tittle. And he surprised my dad, LSU grad. He surprised my dad, knocked on his door, and he said, I'm going to be your dad for this banquet. And he drove and took my dad there. So even though I'm a California guy, I have a connection with LSU because my dad had Wyatt Tittle play or be his dad for a night, and he also played at Tiger Stadium back in the day.
That is insane. The Wyatt Tittle. Man, there's so many legendary stories about him, man. The good old days, man. Gotta love it.
Absolutely.
Big topic, talking point. Once again, Michael Barker is going to 100 Stadium CFP Campus Tour. Give him a follow. Are the light shows, all right? You know, Georgia, Alabama had a huge boomer crowd, okay? And one big complaint was this was a high-ass scoring game, and, you know, it became an EDM fest. You would think freaking Steve Aoki opening for Tiesto at Hakkasan was going down. Do you like it?
I like it because there's enough people that do like it. And so there's a lot of things at a stadium that are not for everybody. I mean, everybody plays Sweet Caroline. Everybody's doing Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. And, you know, you think it's unique to your stadium. And maybe because you go to 100 college football games, you see it all the time, you get a little bit tired of it. But I think that it's unique. I think it's something that people can like an experience and put on social media. Do I think it's necessary or you're behind the times if you don't have it? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, because you, I'm about to make a comparison here. I've always kind of felt like Tiger Stadium was kind of Wrigley. You know, like they didn't really go towards like the light show direction. They kind of brought a DJ in last year. Tiger Stadium kind of had like a Wrigley kind of feel. You could still see the dorm rooms when you walk in.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and another thing about Tiger Stadium, real quick, the exterior separates it too. I mean, just the amount of the signage and the, you know, the All Americans and the Billy Cannon, and you can really track 100. If you have 25 minutes before the game and you encircle Tiger Stadium, you're going to learn a ton about LSU football. And I always talk about leaning into that history because, you know, I bring up Purdue. They got Rod Woodson, Bob Greasy, and a bunch of like Hall of Famers, and you don't see anything out there. So Tiger Stadium, it encapsulates the old, the new. It displays the history. And the other thing is, man, we talk about aura or vibes. When you look at the exterior of that place and how, yes, they changed some of it, but they left the part that looks like a Coliseum there and light it up. I mean, that is what dreams are made of right there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What annoys you the most about stadiums? And we'll throw in 2023, 2023 and 2024. What's your biggest issue?
With stadiums?
Yeah, just stadiums. What pisses you off the most?
Well, I would say it's a move towards comfort and less on the crowd being the 12th man at a game. And, you know, you were talking about the UCLA game and fans want to stay out of the heat. Well, the UCLA wants to be there less than the fans. So try to embrace that and be a part of the game and impact the game. And so I think what you're talking about when you said you're glad that I didn't get a media pass because you don't want to be out there, but that's what fans are gravitating to. And so I'll give you Florida State, for example. Right now they're renovating their stadium. They took out 10,000 seats and they're replacing it with this like party platform plaza thing. And they displaced 10,000 season ticket holders. And what they're going to do is just double the price to make up for it for having 10,000 last seats. So, you know, Doak Campbell has 80,000. It's going to go down to about 69,000. It sounds like a lot, but who is thinking that Florida State needs to remove 10,000 fans from their seat? It just doesn't seem like you need that. So that's the thing that bothers me, is that the feedback of the pampered fan, maybe that has gone to control climate football leagues for the past few years and wants it, that's seeping into college football a little bit, and I hope that it doesn't. But that's what I'm worried about right now.
What made you want to do this?
I would say that I got disenfranchised with NFL football. You know, all the stories about – I live in California. We had the Raiders leave. We got the A's are leaving. We got the Warriors went across the bay in San Diego. The Chargers left. All this thing. You don't hear that in college football. You don't hear LSU say, hey, if you don't improve Tiger Stadium, we're moving to, you know, Monroe or something. Like, that will never happen. But I just like college sports because you have skin in the game, whether you're a grad, whether you're an employee, whether your child goes there, whether you're a donor, whether you're in the community. You could actually say, I'm connected to this university because of this. And the NFL is just a franchise. It's like McDonald's. Like, what do I care about the McDonald's in Baton Rouge selling more burgers than the one in New Orleans? It doesn't really do it to me. So I wanted to go out there. And then also, I think California fans are kind of sad. And I wanted to go out there and see if in other places the environments were really true. And it is. And so part of what I did was, you know, I have goals. And I saw a game at all 130 FBS schools in 5 years. Now I'm working on the FCS. But also going back to COVID games, but really it wanted me to figure out if what I saw my whole life growing up in California was what it was that's all out there, or there was something different. And going out there, I've been educated over all these years and found out that this is great in a lot of places. And I come back home and say, it doesn't have to be like this. We could care too. So that's kind of the reason I started doing it.
It's every year when the Rams play the 49ers and it's all 49ers fans. Like, it's insane. Like, I know I made like the Georgia comment a minute ago, but it was still 70-30 LSU fans, right? 40, go look at the crowd in 49ers Rams. It's a solid 50-50. Solid. For a whole
100%.
100%. A whole, I know it's easier because you could drive from San Francisco, but it's still a while. Like, it's still crazy to me. A few more for you. A question I wanted to bring up is the SEC and Big Ten in terms of like stadium experience on a different level than, let's say, a school like Washington State or something like that?
It definitely is. You know, the Pac-12 closing, the Big Ten took our four greatest stadiums. They took the Coliseum, the Rose Bowl, Autzen, and Husky Stadium. And now those are in the Big Ten. And in the Big 12 now, the biggest stadium is BYU, and that's 62,000. In the ACC, you got Clemson's 81. I mentioned Florida State is now going down to 70. But in the SEC and the Big Ten, other than a couple like Vanderbilt's and Maryland's and Northwestern, we're all talking 80, 90, 100 plus. And so it is just a different animal out there. And, you know, that we do have, you know, there's some small, like Utah, you know, that Florida game, that guy called it a little A stadium. That could be a good environment. You know, Fresno State, which sounds like a small, but that Valley, they're the best fans in California out there. But yeah, it really changed the game taking those out of there. And if you would have told me that the Big Ten took the schools just for the stadiums, obviously not. But if you told me that, they drafted the best four. So, you know, whether they want to call it the Power Two or whatever, probably the top 14 out of 20 stadiums in college football are in the SEC and the Big Ten.
So, Michael, I'm going to tell you something that I don't think anyone has ever told you face-to-face as a YouTuber, all right? Is it okay if I say, because it's going to be a little insulting. Is that okay?
No, go for it.
Okay. There are viewers here that think you're a lunatic. They think you're a lunatic for this reason. They're going to say, hey, Michael, you're spending all these money. You're flying across the country. You're driving. You know, they had this thing called a TV. And, you know, you could put multiple TVs and monitors up. And like, Michael, you're an idiot for doing this, right? You're just jumping around, going from stadium to stadium. And you could sit from the comfort of your own home for cheaper and not spend the inflated gas, inflated money, inflated hotels. People don't understand. Hotels in college towns suck in terms of it's hard to get. So what would you say to that person viewing at home saying this about you? Okay, because I brought it up. I brought up the fact that, I mean, you're busting ass. You're hauling ass. You're going from place to place to place to place. So what would you tell the viewer from your vantage point about that? And what do you think about televisions and how it's affected the college stadium experience?
Yeah, so I would say two things. Number one is I enjoy the in-game experience more than watching a broadcast. I think that anybody that is an educated football fan doesn't need every single play broke down after they see it live, because we understand that. And so that's hard for me right now to watch a broadcast. But also, when you watch a game in person, you get to take it in the way that you want. And, you know, they go to TV breaks. You can navigate the stadium. You can have conversations with people. You can go to the concessions. You can really learn about the history, even the things that facts that are displayed on the board. So for me, I love the in-person experience. You know, I have enough of a following now that I have, you know, met people, and I call it politicianing at a game. So, you know, I shake hands and kiss babies jokingly. But as far as being crazy to do this, you know, I do have some sponsors, so that helps with some of the costs. Also, I call it glamour.
Hold on 1 second. I know Tick Pick is one. I want to shout them out. You hopped on here, so shout out your partners. I want to help you out.
I'll just do Tick Pick right now, because we got a couple others that are in the oven, you know. So we'll do Tick Pick right now. So we'll do that, but. And then what I say for the sarcasm for Glamour Life is I do every cost cutting venture possible. So you mentioned the hotel prices. I haven't got a hotel room all year. I put the word hotel in front of my rental car, and I call it Hotel Camry, Hotel Jeep Cherokee. And if a college football game gets out at 11:30 and I have a flight at 5 a.m., what's the point of going to a hotel for 3 or 4 hours? So you sleep in the car, you sleep at an airport, you take the early flight, you take the red eye, you cut costs as much as possible.
I think I've seen you tweet this before. Have you tweeted this before?
Yeah.
What the hell? Yeah, what the hell? No showers, no Wi-Fi, no free coffee and cookies in the lounge. You just say, no, I'm homelessing this thing. I am
sleep well, gonna, in.
I'll give you my travel hack, which is Planet Fitness. Okay. $24 a month. It's open 24 hours. You can shower after the game. They got free Wi-Fi. And then if you're going to sleep in a parking lot and you don't want to get messed with by police, you go to a business that's open 24 hours a day. So they think you're just an employee catching a little, you know, you're probably in there working the front desk or you're the late night cleaning crew. So for $24 a month, you can get any time a shower, you can get Wi-Fi, you can work out, and you got a place to sit in the parking lot and not have some cop knock on your window and say, what are you doing here? You need to move along. So it sucks. It's not fun. But if you go to 100 college football games in a hotel's $150 a night, all of a sudden you just save $15,000 for one season.
Yeah. I now people are going to think you're even, I was just using a hypothetical calling you a lunatic, but now I'm starting to think that you are doing something like this.
We're going to confirm it. Yeah. We confirm it.
This is so interesting. I'm sorry for keeping you so long, but I love hustle. I used to do stand up and I DJ weddings, so I have a lot of these late nights going from like place to place or whatever. But this is like different hustle. You're just going to stadiums. It's so crazy. Craziest story that's happened to you, like late night at a game, or craziest thing that you've seen at a stadium.
Craziest thing that I've seen at a stadium. Well, I, you know, we're just talking about being on the road, and it made me think of, I was at Army and I was 7 miles from the campus and I was sleeping in my car and it was a little turnoff. And then all of a sudden these two cars pulled up 2 o'clock in the morning, four guys get out and they start fighting each other and they're hitting like onto my car and I'm laying there and don't know what to do. And then they drive off and leave. And then they come back 5 minutes later and they start fighting again. And then I drive off. So that was probably the craziest thing that I experienced outside of a stadium. Let's see, inside of a stadium, you know, it's probably just the students just vomiting all over the place in the middle of the first quarter. And, you know, now you got to stand in the student section for the next 3.5 quarters with vomit at your feet all over the place. You know, I don't know if that necessarily qualifies as crazy, but it's definitely like the antithesis of what you're thinking about when you're getting a spoiled, pampered football game experience.
I think getting shit canned drunk at a football game is the worst. That's the worst kind of getting drunk, dude. Like, so I'll be honest. There has only been one LSU game, and I've tailgated, drank, partied a lot. There's only one where I got shit canned, like hammered. That was the worst college football experience of my life. Okay. Do you see people pretty often that have had too much booze before they go? And then what's your experience of them?
All the time. I mean, I always see boyfriend and girlfriends arguing in the middle of the first quarter, and I'm like, man, you guys are in for a long day. That's number one. But I will tell you, LSU, so I'm walking around, a student comes up to me and he hits me and like gives me a high five. He goes, you are jacked. And I was like, oh man, I appreciate it. Thank you. And then he goes, where are you from? And I said, oh, I grew up in San Diego. He goes, do you know my sister? And I was like, I don't know. Who is your sister? And he goes, oh, so you don't know her? And I was like, I don't know your name. And he goes, all right, bro. And he just walks away. That was the whole conversation. So that's an example of, you know, inebriated student coming up. And I thought he knew me from social media, but he didn't. Yeah. He just out of his blue says, okay, you're jacked, cool. And now he's mad because I don't know his sister, even though I don't know him, you know. So those are the things that you see. But the classic is the girlfriend arguing with the boyfriend in the middle of the first quarter. He's trying to watch the game with his boy. She's trying to make a point. And you're like, man, I wish I could tell him, hey, this high school, this freshman year college relationship is not worth missing LSU versus Alabama. Go out there, you know?
People that leave early from games are what?
Spoiled. You know, if you really want to appreciate your team and victory, then you earn it. And you get to the – I will tell you, 2 years ago I went to Oklahoma, Kansas State. And Kansas State beat them. And the reaction was almost like, how dare they? How dare they beat us, you know? And It was crazy to watch. And so anytime I see a team leave early, either way, leave early, it especially frustrates me when they leave early when they're winning, because one day there's going to be a coaching change. There's going to be a player that graduates, and all of a sudden you're going to be fighting for victories and you're going to need that crowd support. So spoiled is the word that I would use.
Chris says, if you made the seats more comfortable, people would stay longer.
Yeah, I did a tour of Lambeau Field, and they told me if they gave a seat back to every seat, they would lose 11,000 seats in the stadium. And so some of this is going to be money driven. The only thing I would say is stand up during the game, maybe to give yourself a break from being on your butt. But I get it. Nobody wants to pay $150 to sit on a metal bleacher, but it's part of being at a 100,000 seat stadium and having the, you know, I'll use the word privilege of getting to cheer for a team that is top five stadiums in the entire country.
You know, Ed, you've kind of opened my eyes, because I am planning on only going to one game this year. And I don't think I'm going to make Tiger Stadium this year, because I lose money going to games with, you know, I do a lot of film breakdowns. I cover all the SEC teams on the SEC channel. But I do think it's important to go to a game a year, even if it's home or away, because that's what it's about. Like, this game was not meant to watch on screens. And that's what I really enjoy about you, because I've never seen a post from you, and I've been following you for a while now. I've never seen a post where you look disgruntled at all. It seems like you're enjoying every single one of them. And I think some fans forget that college football is supposed to be fun. So for you, with all the changes, NIL, conference realignment, transfer portal, obviously you've been covering the sport for a while, I shared some great Y.A. Tittle stories. Is college football still fun for you when you go to the games? But also, is college football, where it's all become about money, getting the biggest dollar realignment, is it still fun for you outside of the actual stadium experience?
Yeah, I will tell you that I'm trying to insulate myself, which is try to you can't be blind to that stuff. But that being said, the stadium experience will preserve your love for the game. I tell people that the two constants of college football are the stadium and the fans. Players graduate, players transfer, coaches change job, hire and fire, admins move all over the place. But there could be the same fans in the same seats for 40 years, and that stadium, Tiger Stadium, has been there for 100 years. So if you're there for each other and for the stadium, you're not going to get disappointed. But it is hard. It is hard right now to ignore what's going on. You know, I mentioned I'm on the West Coast. Pac-12 had the best year in 25 years last year. They disbanded the conference. That hurts, you know, because now they're trying to redo the Pac-12 with like the Mountain West whack light. And it's just not the same. But yeah. So, but I would say that, you know, if you go back and look at old photos of stadiums in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, those things were all sold out all the time, because that was the only way you could watch the game. So I'm not saying you got to be at every game. You're talking about going to one game per year. That's fine. But just be there once a year if you can, and support your team and take that in and appreciate what you have, because, man, you could go 100 miles north, you could go 100 miles west, and there are going to be programs that would kill for what you guys have in Baton Rouge.
You and I are alike in that we're not like, we don't work for any like big site or anything like that. So what I need everyone to do, it is the most simple Twitter handle you can think of, at CFB Campus Tour. Once again, that is at CFB Campus Tour. Give him a follow. That helps him get his partnerships so he can put his own money into getting yourself a new pillow for your Honda Accord that you'll be driving in College Station. It is so critical to follow this man on Twitter as his journey to completing all these college stadiums gets closer and closer and closer. Michael, I want to say thank you for spending so much time. I love getting objective consensus opinions, like I said, and I appreciate you giving us honesty. Right? Like,
You know, not all stadiums have great Wi-Fi. Is that a big thing for you, Wi-Fi? Do you think all stadiums should have good Wi-Fi?
I do, because I think that that's what people want now. And people will say, hey, you know, watch the game, don't watch your phone. But every single stadium, it says, hashtag this, and we're going to put you on the scoreboard. So it's part of the, it's the same thing with the lights. It may not be for everybody, but there's enough of a demand for it in the stadium where they need it. And for me personally, I'm trying to do, you know, what I call my job at the game. And if I can't tweet, there's no point in me being there. So I think you should have Wi-Fi.
There you go. Michael, we'll have you on at some point later in the offseason to wrap up this college football campus tour. I'm so pumped up that you're doing this. Like, I love people that are innovative and do these kinds of things. Because, look, what's big in particular in Facebook groups, Michael, I know you've seen this, is people going to every MLB park. Okay? There's 30 of them. You can do it in 5 years. It's hard doing what you're doing. So best of luck to you, and we'll talk soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I love what you do, and you know, I can't wait for my next trip to Tiger Stadium. So thank you very much for having me.
There you go. Michael, Mr. CFB Campus Tour Barker. Go give him a follow on Twitter right now. Cole says, I like the interview. I like the stakes. I guarantee you I'll never have a bad – I'm convinced. I will never have a bad guest on here. We are still batting 1,000. Can you believe it? We still haven't had a bad guest. Every single one has been great. So here's what we're going to do in the next 5 to 10 minutes. We'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. So here's why his opinion should matter more about the Tiger Stadium experience. It's actually two things. It's not only the fact that he went to all these stadiums, but he doesn't sit in a suite, right? It is rare that somebody wants to visit all the stadiums and their number one goal is to find the worst seat in the stadium, which is what he does, okay? I love him. I have always found it to be interesting. CFB Campus Tour, check him out. Okay. Okay, so Jared actually goes to a lot of games. Jared, could you imagine going to 100 games in a season? Jared actually, I know, would want to go. Pegasus brings up the extreme heat thing. Part of the reason why I didn't push back on that is because it's been discussed ad nauseum. But still. Let's go to Pegasus. I'm sorry, but I think it's actually a good idea. You need to make the stadium an experience or people won't stay. So I actually disagree with you in the context of what he said at the time. I'm guessing this was during the Florida State thing that he went on. I actually agree with him on that, right? Because if you're taking 10,000 seats, you're taking away the experience for 10,000 people. The one thing college football has, and why, yes, visiting all 30 MLB parks is very impressive. It costs a lot of money, obviously, to do any of this, but it is very impressive. What I would say, though, is it's a lot easier to do it because college football, college baseball games or Major League Baseball games are infinite. NBA games are infinite. Even NFL, as a season to stretch on, has a finite amount of stadiums that you need to visit, right? College football is not infinite. So ticket prices have gone up and the tickets still sell out. Okay? The tickets still sell out. So why do I want to push back on the in-stadium experience just a little bit? Because we only get 7 games a year. So if you were to ask me, hey, would I rather go to a game and have a better in-game stadium experience or allow 10,000 more people into the game? I would prefer 10,000 more people to be in the game.
I would. Yeah, Jared, I have no idea how he does this. I really don't. Okay. Let's go to Cole. Do you like 130 degrees on a field? I think the stadium argument is overrated. Give me the comfort of the Georgia Dome if we're talking stadiums. But as a fan base, it's Death Valley. I will say the Georgia Dome experience for me, even though we got our asses kicked by Georgia, we're competitive to a certain degree, though. Georgia Dome's elite. It's pretty elite. Now let's take one more, and then we'll skedaddle. Don't forget, we will be live tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central. Okay? Very fun show tonight. Let's see. You know, one thing I think that's a little overrated. Is how good Georgia played in the second half versus Alabama. I do think there is a little bit of an overreaction to what Georgia did versus Alabama in the second half. A little bit. With all the 2027 QB offers, do you wait for one to reclassify? No, I don't mind recruiting talk. It's a, in particular on a bye week, I don't mind it. Yeah, it's just, it's too early to really tell, right? The quarterback musical chairs can get very tricky. It can get very tricky really quickly. Okay. Let's see. Hotels are a scam. Why are they a scam? Well, would I do what he does if Michael, like, I think he has enough money to pay for a hotel. But when you really break it down, every single hotel is roughly, probably on average for him, anywhere from 120 to 100 to about $200, right? The more I thought about this, the more I would sleep in a car as well. I cannot state to you how difficult it is to get to some college towns. How many college towns you have to go into an airport that's an hour away, rent a car, go to the game, come back, then hit a flight. It's tough. It's tough. But there you go. So that'll just about do it for me. I want to say thanks to every single person that tuned in to Michael Barker. We'll have him on again at the end of the season after a stadium tour is done. Tomorrow night, 6 p.m. will be our next live stream. We'll see you then. Yes! Power out. SEC. LSU. Boom! Well, I guess SEC would still apply here. And tonight, we are doing chicken enchiladas. Let's go.